What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Tomatoito Boxing Show. I'm Hick Kelly, and I'm excited to put this episode together for many reasons, and that is because we are just hours away from putting a close to what has been an incredible year in the sport of boxing. We are hours away from saying goodbye to 2023, and from welcoming what we hope will be an even more successful and eventful 2024 as it relates to combat sports and boxing, especially boxing, which is what we focus on. The majority of our podcast is based towards the sport of boxing. So as we say goodbye to 2023, we are ending on a good note, on a high note, and there was one big fight remaining on championship fight at that, remaining on the boxing schedule. One that has become a tradition of sort for this specific fighter that we're going to cover. And that fight and fighter that we're talking about was a fight between Katsuto Ioka and Josber Perez. Ioka did several things today. He completed his 12th New Year's Eve fight. He's made a tradition of this. This is the 12th time that he's fought on New Year's Eve. And he bested fellow countryman Naoya Inoue in reaching 20 title defenses. They were tied at 19. After today's victory over Perez, he now holds the record over his fellow countrymen with 20. He successfully defended his WBA title. And before we break the fight down, let's recap as to how we got here. Because today's event was supposed to be, or supposed to look a lot different, and more than likely would have played out completely different than the fight that we witnessed. Maybe, maybe not. But the resumes would have said otherwise. The experience. What am I referring to? Today was supposed to be Katsuto Ioka versus Juan Francisco Estrada, El Gallo Estrada. This fight was in the works from very early in the year. It was supposed to take place today, as it's Ioka's traditional date to fight. 12 fights to date, where I believe his record now is 10-1-1. His one defeat came years ago at a decision he lost by decision at the hands of Donny Nietes. And I think that fight took place in 2018, if I remember correctly. From there, he had a draw last year at this time against somebody who we just covered not that long ago in Bam Rodriguez's brother, Joshua Franco. Now, there was a WBA and WBO title on the line last year, and they fought to a draw. Joshua Franco and Ioka ended up fighting earlier this year, around summertime. I believe the fight was in June, where Joshua Franco had multiple issues arise in preparation for the first fight and continued in preparation for the second fight. Multiple issues as far as mental health issues, personal issues, issues at home, issues with himself, which translated to weight issues. And he ended up, by the time he stepped into that fight earlier this year against Ioka, Joshua Franco ended up coming in 2 divisions heavier than what they were supposed to fight at, which was 115 pounds. He lost his title. Because of that, and before or leading to the fight, Ioka had lost his title. So just to recap that, last year when they fought to a draw, They had the WBO and the WBA title at stake. The mandatory for Ioka was supposed to be one Junto Nakatani. Ioka chose to fight Joshua Franco in the rematch. Definitely because he didn't want to have that draw, that blemish on his record. Unfinished business, as was deemed by Joshua Franco as well. And because it was probably a more profitable fight to fight the American Joshua Franco versus Nakatani. So the WBO strips Ioka. Ioka continues. Nakatani, to date, is the WBO champ now of that division. Ioka proceeded. Went forward with the rematch with Joshua Franco and defeated Joshua Franco. He beats Franco by unanimous decision in what was a really closely contested, heavy-hitting matchup between the two. Joshua Franco, of course, the heavier of the two fighters by the time he stepped into the ring. But Ioka just took the fight to him, and Ioka damaged Franco, unleashed quite a bit of damage on Franco, which subsequently, because of all the issues, the aforementioned issues, and the way that the fight turned out for Franco, he retired. Joshua Franco retired at the conclusion of the fight. Which correlates with the fight that we covered and got to attend in person earlier this month, in Bam Rodriguez, Sonny Edwards, right? Where Sonny Edwards was making the claim that Bam Rodriguez didn't want to fight anymore, that his heart and his mind were not in boxing, similar to that of his brother. That's what he was referring to. Ioka emerged as a WBA champion, having relinquished his WBO title. Junto Nakatani is the WBO champion of 115. El Gallo Estrada, your WBC champ. Ioka, your WBA champ. So who's left? Who's the other champion? Well, your other champion at that weight is the Argentinian sensation in El Pumita, Fernando Martinez, and he holds the IBF title. And he's going to be trouble for anybody. So you got Gallo Estrada, Pumita Martinez, Katsuto Ioka, who defended his title successfully today, and Junto Nakatani. That's your 115 champs. El Gallo Estrada was in negotiations to go to Japan and fight Katsuto Ioka, and the fight fell through due to money. The negotiations fell through, and it's not that it's been reported, it's been actually recorded. There's proof from both Alfredo Caballero and El Gallo Estrada. There's a channel, a Mexican channel, by a young man who goes by the moniker of Box Glero, BoxGlero. Very huge following. He actually conducted interviews with both of them, trainer and fighter, Gallo and Alfredo Caballero, in the lead up to this fight. As there was turmoil during negotiations, he got those. He's got a really big channel, that Boxcleros, a really, really huge channel, Mexican side. Both he does the entertainment aspect of it, he conducts interviews, and he does commentary, podcast style. So really, really cool channel to watch. I would suggest go watch that. Or if you just want to see these two interviews, that's where you find them. Books Glittle is the channel to find this info at. Both trainer and fighter state that they were receiving less money than what they had previously received or fought for. So it wasn't appealing to them to go all the way to Japan for a smaller payday than what they had previously made here stateside. Of course, the biggest paydays of Juan Francisco Estrada's career have been against one Chocolatito. In all three fights, got bigger and bigger and bigger, drew bigger crowds. Chocolatito Gonzalez fought Juan Francisco Estrada last December to close out 2022. That was their trilogy fight in which Estrada beat Chocolatito by majority decision. They fought for that vacant title, the WBC, and that's how Juan Francisco Estrada crowned himself once again. How did that title become vacant? Well, Bam Rodriguez. He gained the title, vacated it, moved down to 112. And that's how everything correlates here. How does this correlate with Josper Perez? Well, negotiations fell through between Ioka and Estrada. Ioka kept his date. His traditional New Year's Eve fight intact, enter a new opponent, Josper Perez. We saw Juan Francisco Estrada in person at the Bam Rodriguez Sonny Edwards fight. And it looks like that's the route that Eddie Hearn's going to try to take in making the Bam Rodriguez and Juan Francisco Estrada fight next, come 2024. Bam Rodriguez was very vocal about saying how he's struggling to make weight at 112. His interest is to continue conquering titles. He wants to come get the title that he vacated, that he earned and vacated, and lift it off Gallo Estrada. So he unified the division. Whether he remains or just moves up and comes back and defends these titles, as of right now, we're a little bit over 2 weeks removed from that fight with Sonny Edwards. He hasn't vacated those titles yet. Bam hasn't. So he could easily move up to 115, fight, see how he feels there. If he loses that fight against Estrada and doesn't get his title back at that division, then more than likely he'll come back and fight at 112 and continue his reign and try to unify that division. I think that's the route that they're taking before he decides to vacate the two titles that he just unified at 112. He defeated by far the hardest competition at 112. The other two champions being Artem Dalakian, who's a WBA champ at 112. He's the weaker of the champions, in my opinion. And then El Rey Martinez. He's a WBC champ. Bam holds the WBO IBF titles by defeating Sonny Edwards. So Dalakian and Rey Martinez, to me, Julio Cesar Martinez, are the other two standing champions. Dalakian has a fight coming up in January here in a couple weeks, and he's going to defend that title. He's been on that trajectory of just basically doing the minimum, defending the title once a year, fighting once a year. He, in my opinion, is the easier of the champions. Whether we see Rey Martinez and Dalakian fight, That's for us to see. But Martinez was scheduled to fight, if you remember, on the last card of Showtime, which was on the undercard of David Morrell, that David Morrell and Senna Agbeko headlined. And he had visa issues and wasn't able to make it to the fight, wasn't able to get into the country. So that's how all that correlates. So we have that 112, Bam, two titles, Dalakian, WBA, Martinez, WBC. 115, we have Pumita Martinez. we have Juan Francisco Estrada, Katsuto Ioka, and Junto Nakatani. Nakatani, who's a WBO champ, is moving up to 118 to challenge Alexandro Santiago for his title, for that WBC title. Who's Alexandro Santiago? Alexandro Santiago fought for the vacant title against Nonito Donaire earlier this year and defeated Nonito Donaire by decision and he was crowned the new WBC champ at 118. How did he get that title? Well, last December, if you recall, Naoya Inoue unified the entire division when he completed the unification by defeating and stopping Paul Butler, got all the titles around his waist and vacated them at 118 to pursue unification at 122, which he just completed earlier in the week by stopping Marlon Tapales. Unified 118 last year, vacated all the titles, moved up to 122, and in two fights, he unified the entire division by defeating Steph Fulton, who had two titles around his waist, and Marlon Tapales, who had the other two titles in the division. Inoue steamrolled both of them and unified 377 days after having done so at 118, unified 122 just earlier this week on Tuesday. That's how Alexandro Santiago got his hands around the WBC title at 118, because the title was vacated by Inoue. He fought Nonito Donaire for the vacant title, defeated him, became a champ. Junto Nakatani is going to shoot up from 115 to 118 to challenge Santiago in the first quarter of this 2024, upcoming 2024. So Nakatani, one of the champs here at 115, wasn't going to wait around for Ioka or the other champions, and he's going to go seek a title at a heavier division, one division north. Juan Francisco Estrada and Ioka looks like it's going to be revisited, but now that we witnessed Estrada in person at the Bam Rodriguez fight, it looks like that's the money fight to make, and he's looking for a bigger payday because obviously he bowed out of this fight and traveling to Japan because the money wasn't there. So that's how we got Ioka Josper Perez today. Big wraparound, big loop around, but we got here. Josper Perez, this was his third fight at 115. He's previously competed at 112 at flyweight, and he challenged, his biggest fight to date was when he challenged one of those champions in Artem Dalakian. He challenged for the WBA title. 3 fights ago, he challenged Dalakian and came up short in a decision loss. That was his biggest competition, his biggest name on the resume to date. Then he had 2 subpar stay busy matchups, which were his introduction to 115, this being his third matchup at 115, and going for a title, challenging Ioka for his title. Josper Perez represented himself really well today. He's a fast-handed fighter with good combos. But the deciding factor of today's fight between Ioka and Perez ended up being the power. Nakatani's power was too much for Josper Perez to handle. It was evident from the very first round. Josper Perez has very good hands, very fast hands, very good combinations, decent awareness. But it was evident that the power of Ioka was hurting Josper Perez whenever Ioka would hit versus what Josper Perez was inflicting on Ioka. Perez was peppering Ioka with numerous punches. And when Ioka would return fire, you would see Perez take a step back and then re-engage. Ioka continued to mix his attack between body and head. The body is where most of the damage was inflicted on Perez, and began to change the flow of the fight for him. Come the 5th round, Ioka continued his assault of moving forward, waiting, and countering. He has a very sneaky right hand that he throws either at close range or loops around the outside over the left arm and delivers it as a hook, as a sneaky hook. Those hooks are not landing on the temple, not landing on the cheekbone, but right on the chin. Very quick delivery by Ioka. By the fifth round, he catches Perez with a sneaky right hand down the center, inside, drops Perez. Perez answers a count. They engage once again, close quarters, and Ioka throws the looping right, sending Perez lunging towards the ropes backwards, towards the corner. Lands on his butt, several feet away from where he was hit, and that's where you saw the tide completely turn in the favor of Ioka, and you knew it was just a matter of time. That punch damaged Perez heavily. His equilibrium was off. He answers a count. By the sixth round, a quick onslaught of Ioka was unsuccessful. Perez held him off. He did some damage himself, but again was caught against the ropes. The round ends. By round seven, Ioka proceeds forward once again, catches Perez to the body, which caused Perez to bring his guard down. By this time, his body is really damaged. Ioka inflicting damage to the body causes Perez's guard to come down, exposing his head. And amidst that assault on the body, Ioka throws a looping right to the head and drops Perez for the final time in the fight, in which Perez gets the full 10 count, does not answer the referee, stays down on his knees, counted out, and unsuccessful in his attempt at gaining the WBA title at 115. The best performance of Josber Perez's career, in my opinion. He looked 10 times better, 20 times better than he did when he fought Artem Dalakian. The Dalakian fight was more of a dull fight where it was a pitter-patter, point-for-point, tit-for-tat type fight where Perez failed to expose Dalakian's right side. Perez failed to utilize his left hand. If he would have had a strong left-hand attack, he would have exposed Dalakian's right hand. He keeps his hand, Dalakian likes to fight wide, exposing his right side, keeping his right hand, his right glove right around his chest level. So it's neither protecting his body or his chin, but he guards it and then throws it, kind of like what Ike Corte used to do back in the day. He guards that missile and then throws it whenever he feels it's in range. But that right side is completely exposed, and Dalakian doesn't have the speed. He utilizes more footwork of getting in and out versus feinting and getting out of the way of trouble, which means any fighter with a decent left hand, which Ray Martinez has, because he throws with both hands, bam, would definitely expose that. It would be an easy exposure for any of the more knowledgeable, more experienced, more offensive-minded fighters at 115. Or sorry, at 112. Josber Perez failed to do that, came up short on a decision loss to Dalakian, but this one was a spirited effort because he took the fight to Ioka. He just couldn't fight power with power. He was hitting Ioka, but Ioka's power was damaging Perez more so than what Perez was able to inflict on Ioka. And that, to me, was the story of this fight. Too much power for Perez to handle. And in the end, he succumbed to the damage the accumulation of damage. So congratulations to Ioka. This is the 12th time that he's fought on New Year's Eve. An impressive defense. He beats Inoue for most title defenses now at 20. Inoue stays at 19. Just a few days away from one another when they fought. And we move forward to see how Junto Nakatani does at 118 against Alexandro Santiago. That's going to be a tough matchup. And Alexandro Santiago, the way he fought Nonito Donaire, he's a bit of a wild card, Santiago, because he's got fast hands, he's got good power, but he switches his stance from inside fighting to wide stance at the turn of a dime. Santiago is a really, really good fighter that caught Nonito Donaire off guard, and Nonito was never able to establish his game plan against Santiago because Santiago switches so much and he's in your face. So you're caught in between trying to keep him off you and trying to implement your game plan.